Hello friends, and welcome to this podcast from Hudson's Hope Bible Fellowship. I'm your host, Pastor Luke, and as always, we do hope that this encourages and blesses you as you listen to it today. We also want to wish you all a very happy new year. 2021, I know, has been a difficult year for so many of us, and perhaps it couldn't have ended soon enough. But our hope and our prayer for all of you this year is that 2022 is a season of blessing and encouragement for you as you continue to seek the Lord and His will for your life. Like for so many of you, 2021 was a tough year for us as a church, and we are still continuing to figure out what God is calling us to do as we continue to seek to bless this community and beyond. But we trust that as we continue to seek His face, that He will lead us and guide us, and that is our prayer for each and every one of you as well. This past few weeks, they've been some of my favourite of the year. The Christmas season, it's just such a wonderful, special time. I really do always enjoy it. But it can also be a pretty crazy time of year, right? Christmas followed by New Year. In our family, we also have a few birthdays thrown into the mix too. It can get pretty intense. This season, our culture refers to generically as the holidays. You can sometimes feel like you need a holiday to recover from it. And by this point, I suspect more than a few of us would appreciate a return to normalcy, whatever that may look like in this world we find ourselves in. I don't know how far your Christmas spirit spreads. We are now in the new year, and perhaps for many of us, it's time to begin to take down our Christmas trees, remove the decorations, put the Christmas cards away in a box, and put this season behind us. For most of us, the Christmas season, it seems to come to an end pretty quickly. I had one friend growing up who he was, well, for want of a better word, a real Christmas Grinch. No spirit before, and he just couldn't wait for it to be done afterwards. Decorations, they couldn't go down soon enough. Gifts that we'd given him never seemed to be appreciated or perhaps even remembered. His family, they never put up Christmas lights or decorations until the very last minute, and almost as soon as the day itself was over, everything was coming down. One day I asked him about it. And his answer, it surprised me. "The best day of Christmas," he said. "That's Boxing Day." I was a little bit confused. "Well, my parents always told us, Boxing Day, it's the day where we get to return all of the presents as long as we kept the boxes nice. It's where we get to take them back to the stores and get the things that we really wanted." I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. I can't remember precisely the words that he used, but that was the idea behind it. Christmas Day, it couldn't have ended soon enough for him, because Christmas Day, of course, was just an excuse to get some gifts that he could trade in and get the things that he'd really wanted all along. Sad, but perhaps not all that uncommon. Maybe that's a particularly extreme way of thinking about it, but I know for a lot of people, Christmas, it's kind of just an unwanted intrusion on their otherwise organised lives. As much as I'm sure we do all love the Christmas season, the truth is, if I'm honest, I'm actually pretty bad for rushing through it myself. As much as I tell you that this is my favourite time of year, it always seems that we just need to get one thing out of the way in order to move on to the next. Perhaps the thing I enjoy about it most is the busyness. The fact that every day seems to have something else to look forward to. I remember one particular Christmas. I decided I wanted a particular upgrade for my computer. It was a 3DFX graphics accelerator card. It was far more than any one of my friends or family would be able to spend on me. So that Christmas I asked for money and gift cards for Dixon's, a major tech retailer in the UK. That Christmas day, it was probably the worst Christmas day of my life. It just couldn't have come to an end soon enough. because of course stores aren't open on Christmas Day, and all I wanted was for Boxing Day to come, for the sales to start, and for me to be first in line for that Diamond Monster 3D, the particular model I had my heart set on. Christmas Day that year, it was just a stepping stone on the way to the thing I really wanted, the start of the Boxing Day sales. And in some ways, our world is so chaotic, I suspect all of us feel that tug at times, that little voice in the back of our mind that encourages us to get the holidays over with so we can return to a normal life. Our lives are so busy that as much as we probably do need the rest, it can almost feel like an unwanted distraction from the other things that we should be doing. This Christmas and New Year period, it feels like it's getting in the way of more important things. We'll give it a day, perhaps two or three, but after that, it's back to work. But traditionally, in the church, Christmas, it's not a one-and-done kind of celebration. Like a good meal, it's something that you just can't rush. It's something that we linger over, that we ponder and think about for an extended season. In some of the more liturgical traditions, Anglicans, Lutherans, Presbyterian, those kinds of churches, it's a season that stretches not over a few days or even a few weeks. No, it's something that stretches over 2 months of the calendar year. It begins at Advent, 4 Sundays before Christmas, and for that season they'll look forward to the birth and all of the events that lead up to it. It runs through Epiphany on January 6th, Twelfth Night, as it's sometimes called, when they remember the coming of the wise men, and then stretches out until February 2nd, Candlemas, when they remember Jesus being presented in the temple. The Nativity story, the story of Jesus' coming, it's so significant that they don't want to ignore even a single part of it. They want to ensure that every element of the story gets its proper place. But these days, even in the church, we seem just to be ready to rush through Christmas. As a church, we didn't really do very much during Advent. And now in the new year, I suspect all of us are ready to put that Christmas story behind us. Certainly the world is always rushing on to the next thing. I went into Dollarama on the 22nd of December, 3 days before Christmas Day. And they already had Valentine's displays out, ready for the new year. Indeed, I can be even guilty of this myself. In my last podcast, the one released on Christmas Day, which I hope most of you got a chance to listen to, I even did it then. I said something to the effect of, at Christmas we remember Jesus coming to earth, but that's only important if we know why he came, because he came to save us. And straight away we were rushing headlong towards the cross. I don't necessarily think that's wrong. I stand by what I said in that podcast. As Christians, we have the whole story. We know what Jesus did. We know why he came, and we should never forget that. But in our rush to move on to the next thing, we can easily miss the value of the journey. In Luke chapter 2, we read about several events in Jesus' early life, from his birth through his sitting in the temple with the teachers at age 12. It's a whistle-stop tour of his childhood that includes several key and important events, and Luke includes them for a reason. He has a point here. That point, of course, is to drive home that Jesus, he followed the traditions of his people and his family. But it's also to drive home another point, I think. In fact, he ends the section with these words. Then he went to Nazareth with them, them being Mary and Joseph, and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Then he says these words, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. There's a lot hidden in that short sentence. In fact, contained in those verses is nearly two decades of growing and developing and learning and living. In some ways it would have been totally possible for the Father to send Jesus into the world fully grown. Of course, we know when God created Adam, he came fully formed and fully grown. So in some ways, there may even be a kind of satisfying poetic quality then if Jesus, the second Adam, arrives on the scene fully grown as a man too. But Jesus is more than just the second Adam. He's also our example, right? He's the one that we are called to follow, to emulate, to live our lives as a reflection of. And if we're going to follow him, then we need to understand that he is someone to follow. He's described as someone who grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man, and that's really important for Jesus, because it's really important for us. Jesus, our example, he doesn't arrive fully formed. He doesn't skip to the end. Clearly, Jesus lives his life a little differently to all of us. At every stage, when faced with temptation and the opportunity to do the wrong thing, he chooses not to give in to that temptation. Jesus lives the perfect life we cannot live, so he can die as the perfect sacrifice for sin. That's important. We must never forget Jesus was perfect. But still, the fact that he had to grow in wisdom and stature, perhaps that means he's not quite so different from us as we sometimes assume. His life, like ours, it was a journey. To reach the place where he was going, he had to spend time growing and learning and travelling along the road that would lead him where he was headed. Scripture doesn't tell us specifically all the things that happened in these times, but these verses remind us of all the growing that Jesus did. On his way to the cross, Jesus had to potty train. He had to learn to speak and count and read. He perhaps learned to cook and clean and help his mother and follow Joseph into his trade as a carpenter, a kind of artisanal master craftsman of the day. While he was Joseph's apprentice, he would have surely smashed his thumb with a hammer or broken his fair share of tools and planks and stones. Like anyone who's learned a trade, before he could call himself a carpenter, there would have been a time where he barely knew how to use the tools, where his earthly father would have needed to hover over his shoulder, talking him through even the simplest joint or showing him the proper way to split a stone, and fixing more than his fair share of mistakes after Jesus would have nearly ruined some expensive materials. Sometimes I think we think because Jesus without sin means he was somehow perfect at everything he ever tried. But trying and failing, learning and improving, those aren't sinful things, are they? So perhaps we shouldn't be surprised if Jesus had to go through those same experiences too. Being the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, that doesn't mean or imply that Jesus was a prodigy who excelled at everything he ever tried. Indeed, the response of the people who knew him growing up seems to show that perhaps they never considered him all that impressive. In Mark's Gospel, in chapter 6, verse 3, we kind of see just how surprised they are to see he amounted to anything. When they see Jesus teaching the people, they scoff. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are his sisters here with us? They take offence at him, that this simple, humble man, who perhaps they assume never would amount to very much at all, is suddenly teaching of the things of God. Often in our lives, I think we want to skip to the destination, to the end goal. But in life, as in faith, it's a process, a journey. We need to take the time to grow in wisdom and favour before we can do all the things God has in store for us. Perhaps many of us have a clear and strong sense of calling of the things that God has asked us to do, and perhaps then feel frustration that we can't immediately do them. Perhaps we take that to mean that God hasn't called us to do these things after all. And perhaps sometimes that is the case. Perhaps sometimes these things are from us, not from him. But perhaps, as well, there's also time that we just need to put in the energy, to take the discipline and effort and practice. We need to grow over time before we'll be ready to do these things. And that's okay. For Jesus, he wasn't born on Christmas Day and off to the cross on Boxing Day. The cross, it was always his destination. From the very first breath he ever took, it was where he was headed. But before he went there, there was a journey. There was growing. There was learning. There was life. He needed time to learn in obedience, to grow in wisdom and stature, and in favour with God and with man. And so, if that's what it took for Jesus, why would we assume we won't also require the same sometimes? It's okay to admit that we're not yet where we want to be. It's okay to know that we've still got a way to go to get to the place that God has called us. It's okay to spend time learning and studying and practicing before we'll be ready for God to use us in the things that he's asked us to do. Of course, that's not an excuse for avoiding the things that we can already do for God. It's not a reason to ignore the ways that we can contribute. But it is a valuable lesson for us all as we remember that we are still becoming who we are meant to be. I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. Often it seems to me that they are more an excuse to verbalise things that we have no intention of changing, rather than a real motivation to do better, to learn and to grow. But if Jesus was someone who had to learn and grow, maybe New Year's resolutions are a way that we can be a bit more like Jesus. If our resolutions are things that help us to be a bit more Christ-like, to learn those things that God is asking us to learn in order to be more effective for him, if they are the sort of things that help us to serve our community better, to love our friends and neighbours in a more Christ-like way, to be better people, and to do the things that God is asking us to do, then maybe, New Year's resolutions, they're not such a bad thing after all. As Christians, we need to be ready to learn and to grow and to develop, always. I think sometimes as Christians we hope that it'll be a little bit like Neo in The Matrix, that when we become a Christian we'll just be able to receive this divine download of all the skills and knowledge we need for the task that God has given us. But that wasn't how it was for Jesus. He needed to learn and grow in wisdom and in obedience. And for most of us, that will be our experience too. Of course, God gives us incredible gifts. Of course, God equips us with knowledge and wisdom when we need it. But more often than not, I think God expects us to put in the work. And after all, if the God we serve is who he says he is, then surely he's worth it. So let's be ready to learn and to grow and develop. Let's be ready to put in the effort and the energy as we seek to understand who he's calling us to be and the things that he's asking us to do. Let's be like Jesus. Let's grow in wisdom and knowledge, in favour with God and man, as we seek to learn to become who he's asking us to be. Thanks for joining us again. I do hope that 2022 is a blessed year for you, and we hope to be part of that blessing as we continue to seek to serve God in this time and place. Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again very soon.